Welcome back, Monday. Let's get right into it. As all of you know who have been paying attention, that's all of you good people, you wouldn't be here. The bird flu has been positioned to be released at almost any time now as a big new pandemic. And I think the indications are the big money is already being made by Big Pharma, which has already cranked out over 50 million vaccines. And they're making them 25 hours a day now. They can't make them fast enough. So it does appear that that's in the works. Story yesterday, thousands of bird flu cases all across America. Primarily cattle. They're finding them. But you know they've done their research and they've found bird flu in rats, mice, penguins, birds in general. So they're going to do it. But this is a war on cattle. It's a war on dairy. It's a war on food. It's part of the whole famine mentality that is being now made very available to people. If they want to look at it and think about it and get scared, it's there. It's all there. So it does appear that bird flu is going to be released. Now, they're very clever, so they may substitute it with something else. We don't know. They have dozens of things on the shelf right now that could be released anywhere, anytime. I think all of you understand that. Are you there, young lady? You heard something you told me earlier about this apparent release that's being prepped, and maybe they've already got the time, the date, but they're going to do it, it looks like now. Everything they've done is saying that bird flu will be the next pandemic. What'd you hear?
Finland has placed an order for 40 million doses over the next 4 years. They've already received about 640,000. So they will be the first European country to offer the vaccine to poultry workers and fur workers. Because
they raise a lot of mink there. You know that?
Mink, foxes, yes, and raccoons have now been found to have this.
They're impinging on that industry area now, too. Those are for, obviously, fashion items, okay? Fur coats, fur stole. They're doing that again now. It's still very,
so,
very much out there. Well, that's interesting. I didn't know.
But from what I understand, it's not the H5N1 strain
they're supplying.
Right? Yes, that's what I heard. And normally, this company that's making it makes a quadrivalent, meaning four different strain, seasonal influenza shot. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if this is part of that.
These are attenuated?
I believe they're killed. They're grown in Maiden Darby kidney cells, which
it's
is
not
a canine.
At least they're not telling us it's mRNA.
No, this company does not deal with mRNA. They're cell-based. Mm-hmm. But the controversial thing about them is they contain that squalene as an adjuvant in polysorbate 80.
Remember what squalene is, friends. That's Gulf War illness, one of the primary contributors.
Yeah, that provokes a very, very strong immune response to the point where you have a pretty good chance of developing something like lupus or rheumatoid arthritis.
Right.
But it's worth it if you don't get the flu, right?
Oh, yeah. So what do we think here? Are they actually going to try to pretend there are more fatalities, human fatalities? The guy in Mexico didn't die from bird flu. He died from a multitude of ill. He was in bad shape to begin with. Yeah, and I don't know. I think there have been three claims, but you don't know. And so, again, it's much ado about nothing. And they've killed almost 100 million chickens so far. That means eggs. That means any fried chicken, Chick-fil-A, Colonel Sanders. There's a war on meat.
Yeah, the funny thing is...
Most of you understand that.
For a virus that was endemic in birds, or spreading in birds, why didn't they attempt to make a vaccine for the birds?
Now they got to play. They politicized everything, or weaponized it. So that's where we are.
Well, Well, so you know, their answer to that was that, well, it mutates too quickly.
Oh, please. How many variants
but
of
it's
the
okay
COVID
people,
scam
right?
have we run across now?
Oh,
everyone,
gosh.
According to the Japanese, every one variant of COVID lab-produced, the Japanese. Everyone. No one argued. It's true.
Yeah, if you look at it on a molecular level, there's signatures in it that, you know, indicate it was tampered with, manipulated.
Tweaked. Yes.
Yeah. So I you know,
do
I
almost anything.
Some have speculated that, you know, all this hype about bird flu will have everybody focused on bird flu so that when people succumb to these various mutations
I
in the
said
coronavirus
that the other day, all the vaccine injured that are dying, they'll be able to cover it up with bird flu.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'll try. That's a very viable tactic, I would think.
Because the symptoms will be, you know, like the symptoms for any infection.
Right.
You know, how are they going to differentiate it with a PCR test?
The joke's on us, okay? I mentioned earlier tonight that Julian Assange has been released. He went right to the airport, got on a jet, and is heading home to Australia, where he'll spend the rest of his days, most likely. He's probably 30 or 40 pounds heavier. He's got a stomach on him now, and he didn't even look the same. He didn't look like Julian Assange. He looked like a middle-aged...
Prison will do that to you.
Yeah. Oh, I can't even imagine what the food quality is like in there. No, it's horrible. So anyway, that's the only good news, humane news, I've seen in quite some time. So we'll hope that... he hasn't been irrevocably damaged, and he can somehow reclaim at least a modicum of happiness and over time and get back to living. What an awful, dreadful thing. This country, this world, is being run by evil. I don't know how you can look at it any other way. It's not being run
not
by kindness
point.
And good. No.
The no. writing's on the wall.
Yeah, it certainly is. All right, now, for all of you out there who may have missed our recent programs about the advisability or profound lack thereof of entering a hospital for treatment. Now, I understand if you're in a car crash. I get that. You go into a hospital, you haven't a Chinaman's chance in hell of... selecting your own protocols. They're going to do what they want to you. And they'll kill you. These are death protocols in many hospitals. Many. You heard from Nurse Ann a couple times last 2 weeks. So here's a video by a doctor, Dr. Mark Galili, or Galilil. I don't know how you pronounce it, but anyway, he appears to be an Indian. He says, this is the most important message I've ever shared on Instagram. Thousands have reached out to me with horror stories of how hospitals were negligent and killed their family members. Anything you want to add to this? Set it up a little and I'll play
it. This is particularly relevant to elderly people because they will... do whatever they want with them. And if that poor person doesn't have someone advocating for them that, you know, knows the script.
And that means, advocating means you get in the damn room every day.
Yeah.
Reading the chart, understanding what you're reading, asking questions. You really have to advocate. You can't just passively do it. Or your loved one will be done.
There's a good chance they'll kill them. There's a very good chance they'll kill them.
And remember, they get paid. They get paid. This is money.
Yep.
And don't forget the bigger picture, which nobody wants to talk about. Birth certificates are stock certificates. And they're all bought up by the billions, ultimately, by big corporations and wealthy individuals and international governmental structures, banking cartels. And so those stock certificates as the baby grows up, if the baby survives now, and achieves things in life and generates income and so forth, the stock certificates increase in value. And when the person dies, the owner of the stock collects. There's money in it. There's money in death. That's hence wars. You killed several million people. There's 7 million payoffs. It's all done through the BIS. And don't forget this. Bank of International Settlements. No joke. That's how the game is played. We have no idea, we, as humans, how we're being abused to the max. It's just sickening. All right, here's Dr. Mark, we'll call him. Let's see what he has to say about hospital treatment and your chances of surviving exactly that.
Are legally killing people by the thousands every single day. I'm going to teach you what you need to do to prevent you or a loved one from dying negligently in one of these hospitals. I received over 1,000 messages in the last 24 hours of patient horror stories for them or their family members of what hospital negligence has done and all the deaths that I have encountered in my medical career seeing this happen. First and foremost, if you leave an elderly individual in the hospital alone, you should be in prison for elder abuse. Why? It's equivalent of leaving
I'm sorry, I got to stop that. I like that idea. That is equivalent to elder abuse. The case can be made for it. It's crystal clear. You're dumping them off. You don't care. And well, elder abuse is something that very few people understand. And it happens all the time. All right, here.
I'm leaving a six-month-old baby alone at home without anyone there. Nobody would ever do that. But you're doing the same thing to an elderly individual because that hospital, if you have no patient advocate, that hospital is going to do whatever they want and nobody's going to stop them. All right, so first thing, when you get into the hospital, the first thing they try to push on you is a pneumovax and a flu shot. Why would I want to put these heavy metals in my body? Now, I can't list the names because they're going to go put the red fact check information on this post that I don't want, but do your own research. Why would I want to put something in to suppress my immune system when I'm already sick? I didn't come here for that purpose. I came here to fix my illness, not to receive two other shots. That's first and foremost. Secondly, one of the most common medications they give everyone in these hospitals are antacids or PPIs, proton pump inhibitors. What they end up doing is they impair nutrient and mineral absorption. So now you're not absorbing magnesium, you're not absorbing selenium and the trace minerals. Well, you can't have proper cellular function and you're going to have more side effects when you're not absorbing nutrients, which they're not even providing you.
Now, just know that probably the number one mineral deficiency across the board in the U.S., maybe the Western world, I don't know, is magnesium. If you want to give yourself a break, get a magnesium supplement. I'm not a doctor. We're not prescribing, but that would be my advice to anyone. Certainly, magnesium is a key.
Yep.
All right.
Provide you with a nutrient ID there. Well, one big thing is this heparin. So they give everybody heparin shots 3 times a day. Heparin's a blood thinner. And I was discussing with the nurse, why are you giving this patient heparin 3 times a day when they're getting up, walking, they're eating, they're going to the bathroom, and they're going to sleep in this bed? Don't you do the same thing at home? Would you give yourself a heparin injection at home every night? They say, no, I wouldn't. So why are you doing it to the patients, causing more harm? Okay, the patients can't sleep. Every 2 hours, they get interrupted all the time by nursing staff.
Hold on, I got to go back to heparin. This is interesting to me. If they're giving heparin automatically 3 times a day to people, they know that they may well run into clot problems. So apparently they're getting a jump on it. But as we all know, heparin has no effect on amyloid clots. That's an interesting thing. Is there any other use for heparin that you can think of that they would try to justify giving 3 shots a day of heparin to people in the hospital?
Well, when people are laid up and they're not moving around, yeah, they are susceptible to
DVT kinds of things, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
By beeping machines. Well, over a period of time, without patients not seeing the sun, they're not going outside, they're stuck in a room with artificial light, they're going to go into a psychosis. And they're not sleeping. And their cortisol level is going to shoot up. Their immune system is going to be even more suppressed. No one thinks or has the brain capacity to say, Let's let this patient sleep for 8 hours so they can get a great night and feel better tomorrow. No, it doesn't exist in a hospital. So the longer you are there, the higher your chances of morbidity and mortality, which is equivalent to death.
You notice how he hasn't even mentioned the bioweapon injections at all. Not one word. We'll see if he gets there.
So now that you're in a psychosis, because you haven't slept in a week, they want to put you on psych meds. Geniuses, right? Instead of letting you sleep in a room for 8 hours. Okay. And then if you end up getting contracting a small infection, instead of pinpointing what antibiotic they should give you, they'll throw an AK-47 of vancomycin and zosyn, which is very broad spectrum. The problem is this kills off your gut microbiome. And we know through studies that killing off the gut microbiome will lead to severe anxiety and depression, which also suppresses your immune system, which makes you more susceptible to having repeat infections and having superimposed infections and then contracting things like hospital-acquired pneumonia or a hospital-acquired urinary tract infection. So they don't really think about what the consequences are of what they're doing. I asked a nurse in a hospital when I was being a patient advocate for somebody, hey, have you checked this patient's vitamin D3 levels? You know, they have malabsorption issues. No, we don't do that. Well, don't you think it's beneficial to give that patient a shot of vitamin D3 when they're in the hospital, get their levels above 60? There's published studies showing there's reduction in morbidity and mortality. There is a decreased stay in the ICU when patients have optimal vitamin D3 levels. But something that costs them $2 to give you a shot of vitamin D3, they refuse to do. Then you'll talk to them, can you give the patient magnesium for proper cellular function? Oh no, we don't do that. The magnesium levels are normal. Well, yes, because you're not testing red blood cell magnesium. You're not testing the right type. You're not doing the labs correctly to understand. Anyone can receive magnesium as long as they have proper kidney function. You can give it to anyone in high doses and they're going to do absolutely great and it's going to help them. Hey, can you give this patient glutathione with an infection? Oh no, we don't know what that is. Oh, you don't know what the master antioxidant of the body is. So you're willing to pump in thousands of dollars of antibiotics for your own profit, but you won't help that patient receive a glutathione infusion in the hospital. Makes sense. Then you ask them something about vitamin C. Hey, can you give this patient high dose IV vitamin C? They have a severe infection. You can see the published studies showing that there's increased efficacy of providing IV vitamin C when patients have a bacterial infection. Oh no, sorry, we don't do that. The bottle of vitamin C costs $50. They refuse to spend $50 to get you out of that hospital because they don't want to give you that medication. So I've received thousands of stories. Please share your story below. I know this video is long, but it's very informative and you have to advocate for your patient. You cannot leave anybody alone in a hospital. You have no idea what they're capable of doing. You have to watch them like a hawk. They will slip something in without even knowing or explaining it. And guess what? They have zero liability. You can't do anything about it. Imagine you're a prisoner in jail and you're being assaulted by another prisoner. What are you gonna do, call the police? They're not gonna do anything. It's the same thing in a hospital. There's nothing you can do other than advocate and fight for your patient. And I urge everybody to do so. Thank you for listening. Drop your horror story from the hospital below.
Okay, anybody going into a hospital, anybody period, should look at this video and consider it, because it may come to pass where you have to go into a hospital and you've got to find someone to advocate for you now before you're in the hospital. He's right. He's 100% right. And it's good to see somebody on a correct moral stance speak like that, because he's right.
Yeah, so be prepared. They're going to encourage you to take at least a flu shot and that, was it pneumococcal shot?
Yeah, I
Pneumovax.
Pneumovax.
Right off the bat, whether you need it or not.
They might as well throw in a tetanus shot and who knows what else. It's crazy. It's crazy. Those really are death factories now, hospitals. Sorry.
Yeah.
For you good people working in there, and there are some heroic people like our nurse Ann. She's one in the millions. She's a great one. But it's grim there, grim. And their staffing is now third world, some of it. These people who are nurses don't even know how to read EKGs.
Yeah, that's pretty pathetic. So, you know, do your best to avoid that situation.
Absolutely. And do talk about this with friends, if you got a friend, spouse, whatever. But you need an advocate, somebody who really can get in there and try to kick ass if it's necessary. And it will
well,
be necessary.
And you know, knows the types of shenanigans that you're going to be subjected to.
I know. It's grim. Now, you did hear the doctor wisely citing the gut bacteria, the digestive bacteria, your microbiome, and how that's going to get knocked out with antibiotics. Does any doctor out there really spend a lot of time helping patients learn how to try to rebuild and repopulate their digestive system with the correct bacteria after they've wiped it all out with Cipro or Doxy or whatever? I don't know if they do. They might come in and say, well, you better take a few probiotic capsules and try to repopulate. It's a lot more serious than that. This is a big deal.
Oh, yeah, particularly when, you know, you get the leaky gut. And then, you know, you have the permeability where toxins from the digestive tract migrate into the bloodstream, and they can cause systemic inflammation. And you may or may not be aware of it. You know, it can be a low-level chronic inflammation. And if it's real bad, it can lead to sepsis.
Explain sepsis again, real quick.
Well, sepsis is when you have, you know, the infection gets into the bloodstream and your immune system goes berserk.
Yeah,
and that can lead to widespread clotting.
Yes. You have a bacteria, it's gotten loose into your system, and your immune system, seeing it in the blood, and it can proliferate in the blood. Don't forget that. So,
well, sometimes it's just the fragments of the bacterial wall, that what they call lipopolysaccharides or endotoxins.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And then those are just components of the bacteria cell wall. So that can do it. Now, that's a very potent trigger for the immune system and systemic inflammation. And when the whole body inflames, that can include the brain.
Okay. Our next little video here is the COVID effects on digestive microbiome. All right? So I'm going to put all these videos we're playing tonight under our names and guests. It'll be up there a little later tonight, but I'll give them to you so you all can look at them, and especially the first one with the doctor about hospital dangers. All right, here we go.
Microbes in our guts is our immunity and tells the story and will tell the story of COVID-19. And this is why, as a gastroenterologist, I stepped into the pandemic. Through my experience, I will show you how difficult it was to conduct research and publish when the research goes against the national public health narrative. Interference and delay in research happened and affects all of us. In early 2020, my research genetic sequencing laboratory was the first lab to document the entire sequence of the virus in the stools, as opposed to the PCR, which is just a little piece of the virus. We discovered that the virus lingered in the stools for up to 45 days. It took 6 months to publish this publication.
45 days. We saw the other day that the bioweapon virus is now findable in the tongue cells and the tongue taste bud cells for up to 15 months. Wasn't that what it was? 15 months?
I think so. Yeah, it was
damn near
a long time.
A year and a half. Yep. And it could be forever. We don't know. So you get this little inconvenient cold, flu, and you don't get it bad. And you get over it in 3-4 days. Some people it takes 6-8 weeks, and they're still not right. Well, the residual is still in your tongue cells, your taste bud cells, and God only knows where else in your body. And if you think that that's a little new, think about herpes. You have it for life in your system. It lives in your neurology. It encases itself, and when your immune system gets weak, it says, hey, let's go. And it breaks loose, and you get herpetic lesions, you get headaches, you get all kinds of things. So there's plenty of precedent for this kind of thing happening. All right, let's go back to this gastroenterologist.
Time where everybody needed to know that it was in your stools. My lab also showed that COVID-19 in the stools was killed by hydroxychloroquine and azithromycin. But unfortunately, azithromycin and hydroxychloroquine killed the microbiome. So therefore, vitamin C, D, and zinc was added. Three protocols were submitted to the FDA from our findings. Three studies were also put into clinicaltrials.gov in full transparency to help doctors more effectively treat COVID, because I knew data that nobody knew. April 2nd, 2020, FDA gave us an exempt letter for doing a clinical trial. In other words, we did not need to do a clinical trial on hydroxychloroquine, Z-Pak, vitamin C, D, and zinc as treatment, or hydroxychloroquine, vitamin C, D, and zinc as prophylaxis.
This is Dr. Sabine Hazen, gastroenterologist, talking. I didn't mention that earlier.
April 4th, somebody must have called the FDA and said, I got another letter saying, I'm sorry, Dr. Hazen, exemption is denied. You must do a full-on clinical trial. Here's the letter. System pressures delayed us, and we got a green light to start recruiting by May 2020. By then, the media created fear around hydroxychloroquine. It was impossible to recruit. This drug was safely given for years for arthritis and lupus with no problems. My clinical trials companies were also banned and censored from advertising on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Remember, I do clinical trials for a living, and never as a clinical trial doctor have I not been able to advertise to recruit for a trial on social media. I kept collecting stools of patients and noticed that patients with severe COVID had a certain bacteria that was missing compared to people that were highly exposed to COVID but never got COVID. That bacteria is called bifidobacteria. Bifidobacteria is an important and key microbe for immunity. It represents your trillion-dollar industry of probiotics. In fact, when you turn the bottle and you see the ingredient, it says bifidobacteria. It is present in newborns. This is why your newborns did not get a problem from COVID at the beginning. And it is absent in old people. The process of aging is loss of bifidobacteria. We published this paper, The Lost Microbes of COVID-19. It took 8 months to publish. If you follow the bifidobacteria like I did, you will notice, and we did notice anyways, that vitamin C actually increases bifidobacteria. This is why vitamin C is important when you take care of viruses, and you know, you've all experienced taking vitamin C for a cold. Well, we published this data where we showed vitamin C, if we give it to patients before and after, it increased the bifidobacteria.
Okay, I'm going to pause this here. It's about halfway through, and I will have this up under our names and guests for all of you to take a look at in its entirety, and we would urge you to do that. We've got another video we want to get to. Anything you want to add to Dr. Hazen's remarks there?
Well, yeah,
you need
it's
a
worth
premium
watching.
Class probiotic to try to rebuild. Even if you think you're fine, take it anyway. If you've ever had antibiotics, you're compromised in all likelihood. To rebuild it naturally just through diet is not easy. You've got to know what you're doing.
And
that's
you've
why probiotics
make,
are really essential, especially the bifido.
Yep.
Super Bifidus, that's the one from, is it Super Bifidus? I'll have to go look. Can't remember now. Anyway, there's a real good one out there that I use. All right, now, we all have, most of us, have pets or have had pets. And we know now that most veterinarians they seem to major in billing, like doctors major in billing. They're charging almost as much as doctors for many, many things, sometimes more. There are some really good vets, and there are some that graduated at the bottom of their class. But they graduated, and they got their license. And the whole idea of vaccinations for dogs and cats, my friend that I lost 4 years ago this November, I never had him vaxxed. He was never sick, healthy, all the way. I didn't have my daughter vaxxed, except for the first couple. They snuck in on me, and I stopped it. She was never sick. I can remember one or two illnesses that she had. That's it. These things are awful. I don't think most of them work. I know that they cause problems in the body that you don't want, and if you had a choice, you would not elect to take these things. But you go into a vet, and what do the vets do? Come on, you're the pro. You know about these things more than I do. They just start shooting away.
Yeah, they do. And they'll have you in there every year, and getting some vaccine or another, unless you object to it.
Right.
And,
right.
The dogs, they have so many for dogs. Dogs really take a hit with these things, and these poor dogs end up with so many problems. Cats, not quite as bad, but, they're still doing it to them.
Yeah. Well, it's money. It's all money.
It is money. And, way back, before this veterinary thing became, commercialized, cats would live to 20 years old. Easy. And now you're lucky to get them to 12.
That was common.
Yeah.
And dogs, 15, 18, common.
Yeah.
And now 10, 12. And these bastards
And they're
know
usually
what they're
dealing
doing.
With a whole raft of health problems.
Correct. Oh, I don't know. This species made a wrong turn somewhere. And I know we don't want this to be reality, but it is. And I just can't even imagine being a vet. Average life expectancy, 10, 12. And they're putting dogs and cats down all the time. Not for me. I couldn't do it. In many cases, dogs are better than people. Cats as well, in their own way. They're reliable. You know where they stand, especially cats. But dogs, absolutely incredible. All they do is give affection and trust. And name me one person that does that. It's hard to find. Hard to find. All right, here's a veterinarian who's going to talk just for 2 minutes about pet vaccines. Safe and effective.
Thousands of pets dying out there every day. When we sat at this table, 5-6 pets died in the United States from a rabies vaccine they didn't need.
Pets dying of rabies vaccines they don't need. There are technically no rules as to how many times you can vaccinate pets for the same disease. Vets worldwide are now seeing terrible reactions to over-vaccination.
Anybody can walk in here, sit down, and say whatever they want. But I gave you silence.
All animals get the same dose of vaccines regardless of their physical size. Regardless of their physical size, they get the same dose. A 5-pound cat will get the same amount as a 100-pound dog. Now, as a scientist, partner, that's insane.
It is.
I said to the state board, if I had to kill an animal to obey that law, would I have to do it? They said yes.
What? Research shows a full dose is, quote, dangerous and potentially lethal.
This vaccine is good for life. All this is unnecessary. If that dog had a titer check, it would not need a vaccination. So this is the real problem here. I had put upstairs in the public health department 45 articles that show vaccines are dose dependent. Titers indicate immunity. It's been proven.
Okay, but who's the we? Who's the we?
The researchers. The researchers. These are the researchers. They're the ones who do the research.
Okay, I spent a career in the pharmaceutical.
And I've spent a career being a veterinarian watching animals die for raising them.
No matter how hard these vets push for change to save lives, they are taunted and laughed at by some of these very officials.
But I completely don't agree with what you're saying.
So this, I don't know who he's talking to, a board of supervisors or something, and some woman is laughing at the vet, just laughing at him. She needs what we used to call a knuckle sandwich.
Do you know of any studies that the vaccine can sometimes create other health concerns for animals? Can you talk a little bit about that?
Absolutely. You get tumors at the injection sites. You get autoimmune diseases that start later in life, but you get the immediate reactions. Some dogs die immediately of anaphylaxis. Others get just serum sickness and they vomit, maybe hide under the bed for a day or two. But if I lower my dose, right, to protect the animal, then I'm in trouble. So I have to do what the manufacturer says, and like the State Board of Connecticut said, if I have to kill my pet, I have to kill my pet. It's the law. Well, guess what? I have a Hippocratic oath that is greater than any law that's passed in the state of Connecticut that would make me kill my patient. I won't do it.
Okay, that's in Connecticut, and whatever governmental board this was, the people behind him, listening, watching, every one of them on their cell phones. And the last picture of him over his shoulder, the guy is sitting there listening and yawning. And then they panned up front, and the people at the front of this committee, or whatever they are, board of directors, I don't know. They were on their cell phones, too. They were holding them down below the desks so no one could see what they were doing. They were zipping through, texting. And how can you be optimistic about the future with this kind of behavior?
I know.
You can't. And this guy's got
But it's
conscience.
Gone on for a long time.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
It's not new.
No. So, again, I will put all these up for you. We want you to have them, look at them, share them, just like we do with the programs. It's, by all means, it's your program. It's if you weren't out there listening, we wouldn't be doing this. So it's for you. All right, let's go to our human chronicles here and see what we have to present here. Well, here, right at the top, the takeaway. 33-year-old with blood clots. That's a quickie.
Give me a date.
That's a June 17th. The
okay.
Top one. First one. 33-year-old with blood clots.
Okay.
Go.
My 33-year-old daughter-in-law, who is very health conscious, works out, eats healthy, etc., developed a blood clot near her heart. The doctors and nurses at the hospital said they were seeing a lot of young, healthy people with blood clots and told her it was caused by the you-know-what. She had to have surgery and is doing better, but is constantly monitored for blood clots. She only had one you-know-what, but that was enough. Yeah.
All right. Here's one. Let me open this up. COVID-19 long haulers support. Now, COVID-19 long haulers, the suggestion is you get the virus and you don't get over it. But in many cases, maybe the majority, it's you got the shot and you don't get over it. Okay? Your body is producing spike and the spike is destroying your body.
Yeah, a lot of these people, it's hard to tell. Some did not take the vaccine in this group, but some took it and got COVID. Some had COVID and then took the vax, thinking it would make them better. It's a mix of of all of that.
I still remember that one that we read, the guy said before he died, if I'd only gotten my booster shot, I'd probably be okay.
Yeah, those are the ones that are completely brainwashed.
How do you cope with this illness / disease? This is COVID long haulers. It just seems like every 1 to 2 months I get something new. My immune system is gone. I catch every virus that blows my way. I get strep throat, sinus and ear infections, pneumonia, pleurisy, prostatitis, UTIs. Every time I turn around, it's always something. I rarely go anywhere but the doctor's, hospital's, grocery store if I absolutely must. I am fully masked up everywhere I go. I am so paranoid about catching things. See, here's another reason to wear a mask. Let's assume this guy's vaxxed, your immune system is severely compromised, to put it mildly. You must protect yourself. Masks work. I rarely go anywhere but the doctors, hospitals, and grocery store if I absolutely must. I am fully masked up everywhere I go. I am so paranoid about catching things. I have zero quality of life. I am still recovering from open heart surgery. I have never been so discouraged and depressed in my life. I am so very tired and exhausted all the time, constantly hurting and in pain. I have become a hermit because of COVID. I try to get up and move around, but I lack the strength and energy to do much of anything, and I pay with sharp pain everywhere for the next 2 or 3 days after. I dread taking a shower because it exhausts me terribly. And getting dressed afterward, well, it's almost too much to bear. Long COVID therapy hasn't helped much. I get a flicker of feeling better for a moment, and then that moment is gone. I have moments when I have to break down, but that just makes me feel even worse. It is just too much at times, you know? Are you on this page? Get that comment.
Yeah. All right, so there was 116 comments. Here's one helpful one. This person says, I injected myself with thymus alpha 1. Now, that's a peptide that boosts your immune system. And it changed everything for me. Not for everybody, but I was desperate after 9 months. It still hurts me, and I go back every time, maybe 2 to 3 times a year, and I'm fine. It's like I was never sick. Otherwise, I'm fatigued and get terrible brain fog. Now, that's something that they took away, removed from the market during the pandemic, but apparently it's back. They are trying to remove consumer access to all injectable peptides now.
That's right, because they love us so much and are worried about our health and welfare.
Right.
We're in the hands of abject evil, if you haven't figured it out by now. This is beyond satanic.
Sure is.
Okay, June 5.
Okay.
Three-year-old shedding sickness. Three-year, I should say, shedding sickness. Three-year shedding sickness. It's right at the top.
Yep, got it.
Go.
A lot of symptoms I have are the same as somebody who was vaxxed. Heart palpitations, change in heart rate, sleep apnea, nose has been running for 3 years, fatigue, loss of intuition. My heart has actually stopped on several occasions when going to sleep. There's a name for that, but I forgot. I can't even remember them all. Thankfully, the worst seems to be over. However, I'm still nowhere near the same. I'm very self-aware and in tune with myself, so I believe I'm able to pick up on changes that others would look past. And this person asked, when you were shedded on, was the person sweaty? And he answers, yes. We were doing a concrete pour on a hot day. He was sweaty. He had been jabbed the previous day.
Uh-huh. And the suggestion there? Contact or just evaporative shedding?
Well, yeah, if you can imagine the amount of exosomes that are hanging in the air on a hot day and sweating.
Yep.
And if he'd just been vaxxed the day before, he had a good dose of it.
Okay. Around the middle, a little past the middle, we have vax autoimmunity, vax cancer, and vax cancer. Post-vax cancer. Okay.
Yep.
Okay. Go ahead with the first one.
A friend of mine's niece had to take 3 jabs for university. She now has an autoimmune disease. She said a lot of kids from school are really pissed that they had to take it. She mentioned how she knows it's not reversible and is petrified. I imagine a lot of people in the world are feeling this. I can't help but feel sorry.
Well, just apply that 3 to 5 year post-vax rubric to it, and you can see where a lot of these people are going. Not to a good place. Okay, go ahead to the next one, vax cancer.
For those aged 25 to 49, there's been a 24% increase in the number of cancer cases. That means about 35,000 under 50s are developing cancer each year, around 100 a day.
No, that's very conservative, I'd submit. All right. The next one. My niece, 31 years old, who's taken all of the shots, was just diagnosed with throat cancer. I tried so hard to tell everyone I know not to take any of them, and now this. All I can say is that I did try. Now I'm begging her not to take any medical treatments and to stop all big pharma medications. And yes, I've given her a list of other things to start taking for the cancer, but I truly don't think she's paying any attention to what I'm saying. Go ahead, finish this.
Someone says, it's too late, don't you think? And she answers, I do. I honestly do. It's on my wife's side, and I thought I was crazy, or they thought I was crazy when I told them not to take the poison, but now they wish they would have listened. And the other one says, well, I'm a hairdresser, and I've seen a lot, and let me tell you, shedding is real also. I could write a book about what I've had to deal with, and it's not fun.
We may have read these, but I don't think so.
One looks familiar.
Well, I don't know. There's a shedding group here. Starts out with serious shedding. There are 2.
Mm-hmm.
And then shedding is real, shedding remedies and so forth. Let's go through all these shedding things again. We can't really overestimate the importance of this thing to communicate. And if we did read it weeks and weeks ago, nobody remembers. So,
well, did we get to shedding saga? I don't think we did that one.
No, that's in this group.
Yeah, let's jump to that one.
Okay. All right. My husband got 2 times Pfizer in 2021, and side effect was tinnitus. Last shot in the beginning of 2022 was Moderna, and he experienced the problem with his heart, myocarditis. We did detoxification more than 2 years, and last month we visited a naturopathic doctor. We checked his blood through live blood analysis, and the doctor said that there was no heavy metal, no parasites, and no bacteria. I am unvaccinated. I was 8 weeks pregnant. End of April 2024, we visited the OBGYN, and he checked through vaginal ultrasound. There was no embryo at all. I have also a cyst left and right side, one of them less than 1 centimeter. But the doctor said no problem and still normal. 3 days after that, my stomach was hot, my stomach and back hurt, and I experienced light bleeding, and finally it flowed like a regular menstrual cycle. I lost this chance of getting pregnant, and all the blood clots came out. Is there a possibility that this miscarriage is related to the three shots of the mRNA vaccine? Is there a way to restore DNA that has been modified and returned to itself? Has anyone had a miscarriage experience like I did? Well, I'm sure she got a bunch of replies.
Yeah, but that tells you, you know, how out of touch a lot of people are. They're just not aware. You know, that the menstrual thing and the miscarriages and the stillbirths were a big deal back in 2021 when these shots were rolled out.
Just want to live,
you know, they managed to hide it enough that most people weren't aware of it.
No.
And so here we are. This was, I don't know, recently that this person wrote this, 3 years later, and she's wondering, could there be a connection to these vaccines?
They just don't know, the poor people. They're just kept in mental bondage. They don't know.
There's still a shocking amount of ignorance out there about, you know, just how bad these things really are.
All right, let's go back up to serious shedding number one. See it?
Well, how about shedding seizures?
Oh, all right. Yeah, go ahead.
Question. Last night at dinner, my 8-year-old suddenly had a small seizure. I noticed her body went stiff and started arching back, almost out of her chair. We quickly laid her on the ground. It was over in about 15 seconds. Our whole family is unvaxxed. She hasn't had any vaccines since the age of 2. We took her to the hospital where they did an EKG, X-ray, CT scan, and labs. Everything fine, except she tested positive for strep. Her throat was red, but not sore at all. They said it was unlikely that strep caused the seizure, and it's unusual for a child over the age of 6 to have a seizure that's not related to fever. She's fever-free. I'm wondering if it's related to the strep, specifically PANDAS. Pediatric autoimmune neuropsychiatric disorder associated with strep. Essentially, the immune system mistakenly attacks the brain in response to strep infection. If that's the case, that tells me your immune system isn't functioning properly, likely due to the effects of shedding. What can I give her to help her immune system? She's on a multivitamin and cod liver oil, but does eat a typical child's diet. She's on the spectrum, autistic spectrum, and slightly, and a picky eater. Well, yeah, I'd say the shedding is probably contributing to that.
Mm-hmm.
Here's
our last one. We're running late here. It's a real quickie. Can anyone tell me if they feel or think the shedding gets worse as time goes on? I don't understand how I can feel worse from people who got vaxxed 3 years ago. I also want to know if anyone in here has not had COVID-19, the virus, whatever that is. I never have, and I have no positive antibodies to it or the spike. I wonder if there is a correction or correlation with those of us who are so affected by the spike shedding issue. Thanks for any help. This is all so confusing. And I want more answers. Well, it is terribly confusing for people. And just remember, even if you try to remember things, there's a 50% memory loss overnight. At the end of 5 days, it's between 95% and 98% or some crazy amount. You just don't that's why I like to reread some of these. We don't remember. And in this culture, in this crisis climate, we're being hit with horrible news stories all the time. And what happens with that? Those horrible news stories become the norm. That's what happens.
Yeah.
People expect it. Oh, well. It's nuts. All right. Well, I think that's it. We're running really late here. Anything you want to add? Say yes once and add something.
Can I add?
No, I'm kidding. Anyway, good job, as always.
Okay. Thanks, Jeff. Good night, everyone.
And we will be right back with more. Remember, share these programs, share the information, and encourage people to make their own decisions. Be right back.